Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the amazing gift of prayer, that we can come before you and call you our Father. We pray that we might never take this privilege lightly, but be reminded that it is at the cost of the death of your Son that we have this way open to you. So, Lord, teach us to pray as we turn back to this Lord's Prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing that you can do for visitors to Australia is scare them with all of the terrible creatures we have in this country. You can remind them that there are sharks lurking all around the country in the waters that surround us, ready to gobble up anyone who puts a toe in. Or you can tell them that there are blue-ringed octopus that live in the little pools that children love to play in on the rock platforms, or deadly stingers that can kill you very quickly in the northern waters. You can remind them that we have the world's deadliest snake, the taipan, as well as some very poisonous spiders just lurking in our back gardens. And you can tell them about those lovely places where it looks so inviting to swim in the north, but are full of crocodiles which will gobble you up in an instant. And so, you know, you can tell them about all of these things so that they're afraid to perhaps even come to the country. But most of us survive fairly well. Most of you don't look like you've lost arms or legs or anything to any of those creatures. We're aware of the dangers. We know what's there, and so we take precautions. We don't go walking in long grass because there can be snakes there. You look under a pot, or you wear gloves if you're out in the garden. You don't go swimming in certain waters because of sharks or crocodiles and so on. We are aware of those dangers. But what about spiritual dangers? When we pray these words, "Lead us not into temptation," what are we actually thinking about? What dangers do we have in mind? I think it's very easy to say those words and say them very casually. Now, perhaps we think that we'd be tempted to break our diet, to eat something we shouldn't, like too much chocolate or something like that. But what spiritual dangers do we feel we are threatened by, like these creatures that are around us in Australia? Well, 1 Peter warns us, he says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith," or in the faith. So Peter tells us that there is a clear and present danger, that we are under attack, and so we need to take notice. He says, though, of course, if we turn to God in faith, he will preserve us, he will rescue us. But what is the danger? What is it that we need to be aware of? Well, firstly, as we looked at Psalm 73, we saw the temptation to doubt God. The writer of the psalm said that he was tempted to doubt God's goodness. In verse 3 he said, "I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He saw that people that ignored God seemed to do well. They didn't seem to suffer in any way and actually seemed to prosper. So he goes on, "They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the common human burdens, and they're not plagued by human ills." So he's tempted to think that he is missing out on something when he looks at these people who are doing so well, even though they ignore God. And so he goes on, he says, "Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments." So he thinks, you know, God hasn't been good to him. He's doubting God's goodness. And suffering can do that. When we go through tough times in life, it's easy for us to doubt God's love, to doubt that God is hearing our prayers, perhaps. So we need to be aware, when we're facing difficulties in life, that Satan will use those times to cause us to doubt God, to lead us away from that trust in God. We remember how Satan tempted Adam and Eve to doubt God's goodness. God had said, "Don't eat the fruit off that tree." But Satan had said that God is keeping something good from them. You know, that they would be better off if they ate that tree, if they disobeyed God. And then Satan tempted them to doubt God's word. God had said, "When you eat it, you will die." Satan said, "You won't die. What God says is not true." So there are ways in which we can be tempted to doubt God, to doubt his goodness, to doubt his love for us, to doubt that his word is true, to doubt his salvation through Jesus, that it is through faith in him alone, as we said in our memory verse, that we come to the Father. We can be tempted to doubt those things. Then there's temptations to disobey God. We read from Matthew 5, which of course is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And there he's talking about the temptation to sin, to sexual sin. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So whether it's to commit adultery physically, to have sex outside marriage, or to have wrong sexual thoughts in our minds, that we are being tempted to sin. Now today, with the easy access to pornography on the internet, there are many who fall into that temptation. And we need to be honest before God. If that's the thing that we face, tempted to do, then we need to pray that prayer very earnestly and seek his help to avoid those sins. But there's many other things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about the temptation to allow ourselves to become angry. And so he says, "I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." So it's easy to sort of allow ourselves in a sort of a moment of whatever, something happens, to fly off the handle. We can be tempted to be bitter and to retaliate rather than forgiving those who hurt us. Jesus said, "You've heard it that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." That's tough, isn't it? We can be easily tempted to respond in the wrong way when someone hurts us. That temptation will be there, and we can easily give in. But Jesus says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, what we can be tempted to do is to fail in our love. And that can be by loving certain people, the people who are easy to love, but not loving the other ones who are hard to love. And Jesus goes on there, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" So if you only love the people who love us, we're not fulfilling the second great command to love our neighbour as ourselves. So it's easy to face those temptations. They're very real temptations, aren't they? So there are real temptations that we need to avoid. Otherwise we'll fail to really fulfill God's will for us. Now, this is the Adelaide River up in the Northern Territory in Kakadu National Park. Now, it gets pretty hot up in the Northern Territory, and you might think that some nice water like that would be a lovely, cool place for a swim. Don't do it, because this is the fellow you might meet there. The water might look calm, it might look like there's no danger, but he's there under the surface. And people die swimming in that part of the world. So there is danger, even though it may not look like it. Our society might look fine. Things might look okay in our society around us. But Jesus warns us of the danger of greed. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This book, Affluenza, is a study of Australian society. Now, it's not a Christian book. It's not trying to sort of prove the Bible. I don't think it even quotes the Bible anywhere. But it's just talking about an analysis of the greed in Australian society. And so its subtitle is When Too Much Is Never Enough. And it looks at our desire for more and more in our country. And so it looks at our desire for bigger and bigger houses. Now, if you can't read the words, that the darker bars are the increase in house sizes over the years. Houses have nearly doubled in size since the 50s. The grey bars are the number of people in each house. So as the number of people in the house have declined, then the size of the house has increased. We want more and more. We want bigger and bigger and better houses. It looks at how we are seeking to buy more and more things by increasing debt. And so this looks at the increase in household debt over the years. And financial institutions and the advertisers push that always. You know, you can borrow, you know, you can have whatever you want. Have it now. Do it on credit. And so we're pushed to gather more and more things. And fashion designers create fashion so that styles go out of fashion, and you throw that lot out because it's out of fashion, even though it's not worn out, it's perfectly good. Or smartphones. The new smartphone comes out and it's got all sorts of new apps, and so you throw out the old one and use the new one, even though the old one worked perfectly fine. So there are all those ways in which we're sort of pushed in that direction. This graph, and you probably can't read the words, but let me explain it. The top is the people on the highest levels of income, and the bars are the number of people who don't think they have enough, not just for things they want, but for their needs. And so even the people on the higher levels of income, nearly half of them are saying, I don't have enough for my needs in life. In this country, one of the richest countries in the world, and some of the wealthy people say, we don't have enough. So the authors look at this you know, greed, this desire for more and more, and they say that it's at the cost of family life and personal health. Let me give you this quote. The Western world is in the grip of a consumption binge that is unique in human history. We aspire to the life of the rich and famous at the cost of family, friends, and personal fulfillment. Rates of stress, depression, and obesity are up as we wrestle with the emptiness and endless disappointment of the consumer life. Well, the Bible calls that greed idolatry. It says our worship of material things is a direct challenge to the worship and allegiance that we need to give to God Himself. And as the book points out, it's at the cost of the fullness of life which God actually intends for us. So we're tempted, because there is so much greed around us, just to follow the mob, and probably in other things as well, to be unaware of the pressures to conform and to do the things that other people do. So that rather than being generous in our giving, we seek more for ourselves. A couple of quotes I like from the book. One is, the trouble with the rat race is, even if you win, you're still a rat. Or this one. In rich countries today, consumption consists of people spending money they don't have to buy goods they don't need to impress people they don't like. So it shows some of the foolishness of it. So in a real way, we do need to pray, lead us not into temptation. We need to pray that God will make us aware of where we're being tempted to go off the track, things that we may be totally unaware of, that we get sucked into. Secondly, that he will help us to know his will, to really know what he wants from his word. And thirdly, that he'll give us the strength to resist that pull. You know, when things are tough, when someone hurts us, all of those things, to actually resist the temptation. But it begins with the words, "Lead us not into temptation." We pray that God will not lead us into temptation. But does God tempt us? Isn't it Satan who tempts us? And in fact, the Bible says that God never tempts anyone. In James it says, when tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So why are we praying that God won't lead us into temptation? Well, the answer is that the word actually has two meanings. It has a double meaning. It can mean temptation in the sense of being enticed into sin, or it can mean testing or trial. Now, why God doesn't entice us into sin, the Bible does tell us that God tests people, tests us to see if our faith is genuine, or to indeed strengthen our faith. So James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." And the word trials is the same word. It's that word that's translated also temptation. So James is saying, when we are facing trials, we should rejoice. Rejoice in those because they're good for you. They make us more mature. Well, why should we, if they're good for us, why should we pray that God won't actually lead us into trial? Well, you remember Jesus, as he faced his death on the cross in the garden, prayed that God would spare him that trial. It's not wrong to pray that God will spare us from hardship, but also to be ready for what God does send and to see how God uses those trials actually to make us more mature. And in that we can rejoice. So we can pray that God won't lead us into tough times. But when we do face difficulty, Satan is using that difficulty to lead us away from God, to lead us into sin, to cause us to doubt God. So we need to pray that God will help us to resist that temptation. In tough times, in times of, you know, whatever it is, in personal relationships or in other circumstances of life or health, Satan can use those times, and we need to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." We need to be aware of what Satan is trying to do in those times. But also, in the good times, when everything is going well, Satan can use that to take our eyes off God and to put them on other things in life. And so again we need to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." There are real dangers that we do face. We need to be aware of them, and we need to pray this prayer. So let's pray. As we think of that, what are the temptations you face? There may be different ones for different ones of us. What are you aware of? So, Father, we do pray that you would make us aware. Aware in the good times and in the bad times, when perhaps it's hard to be aware of where we're being tempted. Help us to be aware. Help us to know your will. And give us strength that we might resist, that we might trust and obey. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.